Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Jastrzemski, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All righty, folks, 9:37 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski, right here on The Fan. So with everything going on in the sports world involving Drew Brees and the reaction from his teammates down in New Orleans, I had to check in with Mr. New Orleans himself. This guy is as big a deal down there as you're going to find. Primetime sports, Fox Sports, hanging out with the Tim Brando crew. And my good friend, Scotty Alexander, is going to join us here on The Fan. Scott, it's always a pleasure hearing your voice. What's happening, good sir? How are you?
JJ, what a crazy time we're going through right now. We thought COVID was bad. Now, this has just divided our country. It's been crazy. And as we speak, we're actually down here in New Orleans preparing for another march. We've had a couple very peaceful ones with 30, 40,000, but we're preparing one tonight for about 60, 70, 80,000. With about half of those being bussed in from other places. So it's about to go down, and they say this one might not be as peaceful as the other ones have been. So just pray for us, cross your fingers, and hope things don't go as badly as it has done in some other cities.
Well, Scotty, it goes without saying we'll be saying our prayers, and obviously we're all still shook from what happened last week in Minnesota. But how does Drew Brees all of a sudden get intertwined with this? He makes his comments regarding the national anthem. Let me start here, Scott. Are you surprised these comments were as big a deal and were blown up nationally to the way they were blown up? Do you think that's more or less due to the climate that we are living in right now? Because I, for one, get that sense. I think if Drew Brees made these comments 2 months ago, he's not getting the same reaction that he's getting right now.
He's getting zero reaction. I mean, zero, because Let me just start here, and I'm biased because I was his neighbor, living two blocks down from him for a couple of years. I know what an amazing human being he is, how he has donated millions and millions, literally millions, to, you know, the urban community here. He's done so much for so many people. But here's the thing. I've been on a Zoom call with my Fox crew, with Spencer Stillman, who, you know, Super Bowl champion, African-American running back with the Niners, Oilers. He's an NCAA champion with the Oklahoma Sooners, MVP of the Orange Bowl, and some others. We have a mixed crew on our Fox crew. We had a Zoom last night. They got very tense because, you know, I just think right now everybody, this comment, listen, he was very insensitive to the fact, that he didn't have the wherewithal to realize the situation we're in. And he made a comment on a question that was asked about, the, you know, whether they're going to kneel for the flag this year, and what's his reaction going to be? And he made an honest answer, and he said, "Listen, I'll never appreciate anybody that doesn't kneel for the flag." And I'm going to tell you this: what most people around the country don't realize, I can show you articles from 2010, 2012, 2015, 16 years before Colin Kaepernick was in the public eye, where Drew Brees is all about donating millions. I'm talking about $9 million to the World War II Museum down here, because both his father and grandfathers were in World War II. One of them passed away, and he has a whole wing there that's his name, way before any of this. So when he says something about the flag, people are like, oh, my goodness, he's just avoiding the black issue or what's going on here. I get it. He should have had the sense to realize that when he was asked the question, this wasn't a press conference that he set up and just said these words and say, I'm not going to say anything else about what happened with Colin Kaepernick and what's going on here. You know, Colin Kaepernick caused police brutality, and now this has just gotten so bad. And we all, anybody with a brain and a heart and any common sense would know that this has been horrific, and this has been going on for years, and this needs to end immediately, including Drew Brees. But to make him a scapegoat and to make him the poster boy for, you know, people that don't care about the black cause is completely wrong. I mean, it's completely wrong. It's insensitive because they don't know the situation. It wasn't like he, like I said, planned a thing. He answered a question that was said about, hey, what are you going to think when people don't stand for the flag? And he just said, listen, my grandfather's died in that war. If you don't look at the bigger picture, if this didn't happen, like you said, you know, just a week and a half ago, then there's no talk about it because, you know, there's none. He just answered a question about maybe pertaining to Kaepernick 3 years ago. But it is a very sensitive topic, and maybe he should have stopped back and thought about what his answer was and included what's going on right now, because this, I believe, is a very important situation, what's happening right now. I think this is a turning point for our country. I grew up in a town when I was growing up in New Orleans that was racist. I moved around the country for 30 years to other places that were racist, some less so. And I moved back, and New Orleans has gotten a whole lot better, and I'm happy to see that. But the fact is, we still have problems, and I'm glad that this is finally being faced. Some of these other situations have happened. We've had protests, but this has been a different protest. I think eyes are being opened, including Drew Brees's. You know, you can say what you want about Roger Goodell's comments. You can say whatever. But I'm just saying people in general are now realizing finally, thank goodness, we have to take a hard look at what is going on. Some of these policemen, they get a badge and they just think they can do whatever they want to anyone. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And what are the things we haven't seen? I mean, that's what's scary. What haven't we seen? And it's awful. So I don't want to get too political about this, but I understand the situation. I understand Drew's. I just wanted people to see the other side of what maybe they're not understanding. Because, listen, it's easy to get a target, and once somebody famous starts jabbing at that target to keep on piling on. This guy's done so much for the community, man. This guy cares so much. And it's just ironic because I could name 99% of the league that doesn't do nearly as much for him. For all the communities, especially the black communities, and I feel for him because he is the main whipping boy right now, and you know, and I'm sure he feels bad, but I'm here to defend one thing. I'm not defending what he said or what he omitted more than anything. He didn't say anything wrong. He omitted saying he should have included, you know, hey, you need to have respect for anybody kneeling now, or at least understand why they're doing it, Drew. I mean, because the fact is, they're not kneeling because they have disrespect for the flag. That's what. They're kneeling because this is the time where the cause is going to be seen the most. And I think that was his main omission. And he'll tell you himself that was a screw-up. But he's passionate about, you know, I'm telling you, he's passionate about war veterans.
Oh, Scotty, I totally get it. Now, let me ask you a question about the overall dynamic of that locker room. Drew Brees is a beloved figure, not only in the city of New Orleans. He is a beloved figure with his teammates. A lot of his teammates went after him, whether it was Malcolm Jenkins, whether it was Michael Thomas, who then gave, I think, is well-spoken, a, you know, kumbaya as you're going to get. Kamara had some words for Drew Brees. Do you think there will be any lingering effects on a team that has all sorts of expectations, that has all sorts of talent? Do you think this is something that could fracture them in any way?
That's an interesting comment because I haven't thought deeply about that yet, but I'm going to say this. Drew Brees, teammates, they had massive disagreement, particularly one that hasn't been his teammate in 6 years, Malcolm Jenkins, who's coming back, which is interesting. And Malcolm is an amazing man, and I respect him. Michael Thomas, who's really been quiet about almost all issues, and it was nice to see him involved. And Michael's was just kind of a jab at first. He's like, hey, he don't know better. He don't know no better. And I thought, you know, it was kind of a jab. Maybe you should have called him instead of putting that read on Twitter publicly and just said, hey, man, here, you need to understand what's happening, why people are upset, and why this seems like an insensitive comment. But the fact is, here's what happened. That's a massive disagreement that needed to happen because you don't want anything festering, correct? Let it out there, and let's see what happens. Well, he and his teammates, well, now they had a very constructive team-only conversation together, and his teammates now understand each other's viewpoints more than they ever have. And isn't that what this is all striving for? Because I feel like I just went through this. Education through conversation, because I felt like I went through the same thing last night on my Zoom meeting, which we do every Thursday to talk about the possible upcoming season and what's going on. And we spent, instead of an hour, we spent 2.5 hours, and there was some passion involved because we have all kinds. Everybody's from a different city, San Francisco, New York, Ohio. We got everybody represented, brother. We got some conservatives, and we got a ton of liberals. We have black, we have white, and it was an open conversation, and there was some crying, there was some yelling, and at the end of the day, we all gave our virtual hug, and we got out things that were on our heart and we needed to say. And I wasn't in that Saints meeting, obviously, and I haven't talked to anybody about it yet, but I'm positive from what I've heard secondhand through, you know, I mean, I haven't talked to any writers that were there. I mean, any players that were there. But I talked to some writers that talked to some of the players right after. And I'm positive from what I've heard that it was a healing moment. And will it have ramifications? That's the question I can't answer. The Saints have the best record in the NFL over the last 3 years. They don't have a Super Bowl to show for it. Who knows, man? They had the best record in the NFL from 2009 to 2011, those 3 years. Then Bountygate happened, 7-9, a playoff season after that, and three straight more 7-9s until this great run. So the fact is this was the year that people were pointing to. They've had those incredibly heartbreaking exits from the playoffs, the Minnesota Miracle, then you had the no-call Rams game, and then last year in overtime on an overtime touchdown by Rudolph for the Vikings. That's three hard ways to lose. And after this year, you might have some free agency issues. So this was the year, if the Saints were going to win, this was probably their best chance for a long time. And so to have this come up at this opportune time, your guess is as good as mine how it's going to turn out. But the one thing I do know about this Saints locker room as opposed to 2012 is that it's so much more mature. There's no Junior Gallette. There's no guys that are just complete cancers on this team. And you have Breeze is one team leader, and you have an amazing leader in defensive end Cam Jordan. I've just watched him grow through the years. I've gotten to know him, and he is as good a human being as it gets, and he commands respect in that locker room. And I'm sure he's going to make sure everything is in place. And I'm sure they're going to have some more heart-to-heart team meetings before training camps get started in a month and a half. But you know what? Football is a tough business. And, you know, those margins of error, winning and losing, is so slim that, you know, something like this can make a 13-3 team, an 8-8 team all over again just because maybe they'll lose all those close games they've been winning. So it's kind of crazy how it works. But I'm hoping that this gets settled, and I hope everybody is back on the same page. Because Drew meant no malice by those comments. It was error of omission, and it was a big one. Don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying it. It was a major big one. He should have had more wherewithal to think about it. But the question led him a certain way, and he went in the way he would have gone 2 weeks ago before this, right?
We got our buddy Scotty Alexander, Primetime Sports down in New Orleans. Of course, he's a part of the Fox crew. Now, Scotty, on a much lighter note, my friend, your New Orleans Saints going to have some legitimate competition with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the boys getting ready to be in the same division. Are you all sorts of fired up for watching the Saints and the Buccaneers this year? Those are going to be some fun games.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, come on. I mean, for years, the three elite quarterbacks, probably in order, were you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. Peyton Manning's retired. He's a New Orleans boy. We feel like he's one of our own. And now it's, you know, these are the elder statesmen in the NFL, the oldest players in the NFL, certainly at the quarterback position, or maybe any other position, maybe other than kicker. And these are legends. I mean, obviously, TB has six titles, and Breeze has only one. But these guys have done a lot. Breeze has all the records, and Brady's on his trail right now. So, of course, I'm excited. The whole city of New Orleans is excited. We love this. I love that the division got a little more glamorous, you know? I mean, it seems like teams like Atlanta, they have two great years, and they stink for 2 years. Panthers, same way. Saints have had a little bit of that history themselves. So it's going to be fun to have those two games. And you know Tom Brady. I don't know what the line is today, but when that line came out, when we opened up the season in the Superdome, the Saints were a 4.5-point favorite, which, you know, at night, that's kind of fair generally. But I'm looking at this, and Tom Brady's looking at this. He's saying, I'm a 4.5-point underdog? Oh, that's all the ammunition he needs, because he's Michael Jordan, like, in his instinct, with his killer instinct. So it's going to be fun, my man JJ. And you know, all eyes will be on that first game for sure.
Scotty, when it comes to the last couple of months and what you have missed the most, out of any of the games specifically, what over the last 3 or 4 months have you missed the most from a sports standpoint?
I mean, listen, man, you know, from your friend Alex and I are friends, and he knows when I worked with him in Atlanta for first Turner Sports and then Fox Sports, my big thing was I love the NBA. I love it passionately. I've loved it my entire life. And I was able to work with Craig Sager, being his sideline reporter for those 3 years. And ever since those years, I mean, I've always loved the playoffs, right? But ever since those years, I'm 2 months in, check me out from everything else because I'm watching every single round. I love those first round nights when you got three games sometimes. You know, they start them at 6 Central Time, and then you go and it goes on to like 1 or 2 in the morning. I'm loving that, and I'm jonesing because this is the time of year in May and June that we got all that action in late April, of course, as well. And we didn't have any of it. And that, you know, sad. I mean, I love baseball. I love sports, and that's why I've been in the business I love. I'm not in this to be in the business. I'm in this because I passionately love all sports, and I'm all about it. I love March Madness. We miss that. It makes me sad. LSU is always a perennial baseball, in the running for the national championship, so I missed that. You know, we don't have hockey down here, so I know you guys up in New York, y'all probably missing that big time before it comes back soon. So you are a sports fiend. Our friends mostly are sports fiends. I certainly am, and I'm passionate about sports. So, yeah, if you ask me one thing, it's definitely the NBA Plus. Hey, by the way, I go to Kentucky Derbies too. I've been to the Preakness 3 times. I've been to Saratoga up there for the Belmont twice. So I love all that too. And we're missing all that. We're missing tennis. We're missing it all. No Wimbledon this year. I mean, this is horrible. But it does get the people, the young folks, a chance to watch some history and all the games being played. And, of course, we've talked about The Last Dance and all that, too. But it's nice for them to be able to watch some sports that they would never have watched because they're showing some of the games from years past.
Okay, Mr. Scotty, we know you are college football, and Saturday is for you in the fall, usually very, very busy. From what you have heard from your people at Fox and from what you have heard around the LSU community, how confident are you that we will have a college football season? And what are you thinking this year's college football season is going to look like for that matter?
Well, I kind of have a cheat sheet on this one because I am in on calls every week. These Zoom meetings, literally, I told you Thursday. Last night was the one night we didn't talk about football. We talked about what's going on in America. But so I know we're going to have football. We're definitely having football, college football, pro football. We don't know. I'd just be guessing or speculating to tell you how many fans are going to be in the stands. I know the Dome people here are already making plans for 50% occupancy to start the season and trying to figure out a way for that. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but I know they're planning, you know, how they're going to do that. You know, maybe season ticket holders, some get first game, some get the second game. I don't know how that's going to work. But the fact is, I know there's football. Certainly in the Pac-12 and the conferences that we do are the Big 10, Big 12, and Pac-12, and I'm pretty confident they're going to play. And I used to cover the SEC and ACC, so I have all 5 major conferences, and my folks that I used to work with are telling me they're playing. So it's just a matter of how many fans are going to be able to be in the stands. Obviously, you're not going to see full stadiums. I can't imagine that for a bit. I'm not saying it can't happen towards the end of the season, but I think everybody's just going to do a wait and see until we keep getting these numbers in. And I think the numbers have mostly been encouraging. But these marches, I'm telling you right now, these marches aren't going to help because I was sitting outside of a dinner on Wednesday night. I was with former LSU coach John Brady and current Tulane basketball coach Ron Hunter. And we're just sitting there. It was a peaceful, it was only like 5 tables being full. And literally that protest came out of the blue right in front of our window. These are big, big windows, like literally from the ceiling to the floor. So we had the perfect view, and it was amazing to watch because this was a nice, peaceful protest, but this was unbelievable. Went on for 15 minutes, and that's a long time when the streets are completely packed from side to side. And I was impressed with the message that was being sent with there wasn't violence and people throwing stuff and breaking things just to break them. The message was great, and people were receiving the message, and that's what I've been most proud so far of my city. There's been no violence in the 3 times we've had these protest marches. I'm a little worried about tonight, but my facts are this. This is a good thing for America. I'm just going to say this. You have to watch what you say, because if you say certain people are doing nothing wrong and these people are, it's almost like you become a target immediately. So it's almost like you can't really give your opinion because you're going to get crucified no matter what you say by one side or the other. So it's hard not to be neutral on all this.
Scotty Alexander, as good as it gets, primetime sports down in New Orleans, Fox Sports, man of many talents. It's always great catching him, my brother. I'm glad that you and the family are safe. We'll do this again soon. Scotty, hopefully we can, you know, have a conversation the next time around. We got live games to break down. One could only help, all right?
Can't wait for that, my friend. You're the best at that. All right, JJ, thanks so much.
Far too kind. Good perspective there from Scotty Alexander, who is living it down in New Orleans, knows Drew Brees well, so we're on the same page with that. Listen, you can get on Drew Brees for the timing. The idea that people are trying to paint Drew Brees out to be a racist is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I'm sorry. Let's call it what it is. 9:56 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski, right here on the Fan. We open up your calls once again. It's me and you the rest of the way at 877-337-6666. And when we come back, some news on Kevin Durant. It's official. What exactly? I'll tell you when we return, right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.